Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio is what you're listening to. We appreciate you listening to our radio. And we got the program today. We got an hour and a half here. We're going to talk about what's happening in the country and in the world. Of course, tomorrow, Election Day in America. And we will decide a lot of races across the country, Senate, House, governor's races. But the big one, of course, is the president's, who will win the presidency. Ed Battagliano with me this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. Are you saying Election Day's tomorrow?
Yes.
Gee, that kind of snuck up on me.
Well,
I had no idea it was tomorrow.
I've got it in my in my phone to remind me. It'll ring in tomorrow morning sometime.
Yeah, because nobody's been talking about it. Where?
I know.
How come no
just
one's been talking about the election?
Just getting little or no attention out there. Just overshadowed by other things, in the world. Walker Wildman is sitting here with us this morning, going to keep our Facebook page hopping. How you doing, Walker?
Good. We're up and running on Facebook Live right now.
So what are we going to be? So all the articles that we talk about today, all the news stories we talk about today, you're going to post them there?
Yep, they'll be on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
So if somebody's listening and they go, I would like to have access to the story you're talking about, they can go to our Facebook page.
Correct.
Today's Issues Facebook page. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Yeah, we're having a hard time coming up with covering news today.
Having to scrape
it's a
real the
slow
bottom.
News day, I tell
what's
you.
Going on, Fred? Who's going to win tomorrow?
Well, I guess I'm in the toss column.
Okay.
And speaking of that, see that segue there?
Oh, yes, we good. Noticed it.
The toss column, and what we're talking about is the Real Clear Politics, the electoral map, and we kind of keep a close eye on that. Well, looking at it this morning, there are a whole lot more states this morning than there were last week in what they're calling the toss-up, and that's where they're saying the polls are kind of mixed. We're not sure where they're leaning, Democrat or Republican. And we're talking about states, guys, that you would think would be solid Democrat in particular. We're talking about states like Maine. And Michigan, has joined the toss column this morning. That's almost unheard of. If somebody had said that a couple of months ago, they wouldn't have believed it at all.
Right.
Maybe that explains why Hillary Clinton supposedly is going back to Michigan today, in this 24 hours or less than 24 hours before the voting starts. It explains why Donald Trump went there last week, because a lot of, the pundits like Karl Rove, they were saying, Trump shouldn't waste his time going to Michigan. Well,
right.
I guess the Trump camp knew something that a whole lot of other people don't know, that Michigan could actually go that route. And, of course, others on the toss, Pennsylvania, which has been pretty solid Democrat over the
has
last—
Has not gone for the presidential race. It has not gone Republican since George Bush Sr. in 1988.
Yeah, exactly. So all of a sudden, it's in the toss-up column. Virginia, which has been pretty solid Democrat of late, has a Democratic governor. And then North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida, Ohio. I tell you what, it's going to be interesting tomorrow night. Here's a plug for our program, Tim, starting at 6 o'clock Central. You're not going to want to miss a minute of our program tomorrow night, folks, because when we go on the air, it'll be 7 o'clock Eastern time zone. We're going to have results from all of these states. We're going to get an early indication of how this election's going to go, probably in the first 30 minutes to an hour. You're not going to want to miss this.
Well, the uphill climb is on Donald Trump, on the Electoral College map tomorrow. You mentioned all those toss-up states that shouldn't be. If you're Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, you're going, I can't believe we're having to fight for Michigan or Pennsylvania. But evidently the race is so close in those two states that Hillary Clinton felt the need to go to Michigan. I told somebody, that says all you need to know, because if the Democrats felt like Michigan was in the bag, they would not spend money and time going there for a rally today.
That's right.
So
day before, yeah.
The day before. So evidently the Democrats feel like it's in play. That is Michigan. Here's the way. If you're wondering, folks, what to watch for tomorrow night, and as Fred said, we're going to be here broadcasting our election night coverage. So if you don't want to listen to the liberal media, or maybe you're a conservative, and if Trump wins, you want to turn back into the liberal media about 10 o'clock. So you can just
watch them weeping.
Watch them. You can watch them and enjoy that. And I don't blame you. There's allowance for a little bit of carnality here. If your guy wins tomorrow night. But seriously, what Donald Trump would need to do to win, and it's possible now based on the polls. It's possible. Just don't throw things at the radio when I say this. It's not likely, okay? Because he has to. It's like your team, maybe beating Alabama, okay?
Wow.
If Alabama fumbles six times, you have a shot. Maybe it's not that bad. It's 70-30, 70-30, that maybe 60-40. So here we go. Here's how Trump wins. And it can be done. He wins Florida.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't win Florida, he doesn't have a chance. True?
True.
So he has to win Florida. But, Walker, you've been saying he's up in Florida, right?
Some polls have him up. It's a close race in Florida, don't get me wrong.
Like tied, maybe?
But yeah, possibly tied. But the interesting number to look at now is early voting. Democrats are up early voting in Florida, which is like this every presidential election cycle, but the margin that the Democrats are up in early voting is slightly down compared to 2012. So
that's not a good sign for the Democrats.
No, because historically Republicans show up more on election day than Democrats. Democrats are early vote more than Republicans. So if Democrats don't spread that margin before Election Day, which is tomorrow, then it could be likely that Republicans come out in vast numbers on Election Day.
More than
to
that.
To put Trump over the top.
Gotcha.
Correct.
So it looks even or slightly better than even for Trump.
Yeah, Florida's going to be
in my scenario, Florida's absolutely, you know, if it's projected by 8:30 tomorrow night that Hillary Clinton's won Florida, we can just, those who support Trump can just turn off the TVs and go to bed.
Yeah, and Florida wasn't really looking good.
But don't turn off your radios. Listen to us, because we're still going to be here.
Yeah.
Playing Hank Williams Jr. music, you know, or something. I don't know what we're doing.
Well, now technically, technically, Trump could still win, even if he loses Florida, but he'd have to pick up
Pennsylvania
and Michigan or something like that to make up
for
it.
That's true.
But the thinking is, if he can't win Florida, which is – you know, a very, very close state, then he wouldn't win Pennsylvania or Michigan. That's the way the thinking goes.
So back to my long-winded explanation of how Trump can win here. He wins Florida. He wins North Carolina. North Carolina is a dead heat,
right?
Like Florida, right?
Yeah. Awesome. Yep.
If Trump starts out the night, and as Fred mentioned, right when we start here at 6 p.m. Central tomorrow, within 30 minutes or an hour, we're going to have some kind of results. May not be final. We'll have some kind of results.
Because the Eastern time
hour ahead
would be.
Unless those races are really too close to call.
Right.
Like a lot of people are saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
But my point is, if we start out our broadcast and in the first hour, Trump's won Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio, then we're going to be in for a late night, because then you have to wait for, and he may win New Hampshire. Then you have to wait for Colorado and Nevada, Arizona, and some of those.
Or Pennsylvania.
That's possible.
Best case scenario, Ed and Fred, you come in on the best case scenario if you're a Trump supporter would be you take Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio, and then somebody's saying in a shocking development, Donald Trump has won Michigan or Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. Well, that would almost end the night.
That's what I'm saying. Florida, that's best case scenario. Yeah.
Florida would not be called in the first hour because the panhandle in
the west part of the state.
Central time.
That closes central time.
Which panhandle usually leans Republican.
Yeah.
It
a lot
does.
Of retired folks.
It does.
Yeah.
But they won't call Florida at least until the second hour.
Yeah.
But because of the Electoral College map being as it is, That is, the Democrats start off with California, New York, and Illinois mm-hmm. before any of us roll out of bed.
They have 203 electoral votes from states that are solidly Clinton,
leaning,
solidly, strongly, or leaning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they start off with 203.
But it's going to be that way till the end of the world.
Right.
probably right. because right. our California is so liberal, New York is so liberal that they don't even entertain the idea of a Republican.
Mm-hmm. You know, the electoral map, the real color politics, it's really interesting to look at. It was just before I came across to the studio here, there's only four states that are solid blue, which means solid Democrat in the country.
Right.
Four. You've got
what are they?
New York, you got Delaware, and you've got California, and I think it may be Washington.
Well, no, actually, I'm just looking at the real clear, and this does change a little bit. It's California, Hawaii,
yeah.
New York, Vermont, Massachusetts, and Delaware.
Are those so solid blue?
Those are solid blue.
Yeah. Right. So those, but then you look at the rest of the country. I was looking at Oregon.
Oh, Illinois, guys. Chicago owns
Illinois. Actually, I didn't mean to say Illinois. Sorry, folks. Illinois is likely. So yes. they've got solid, likely, and leaning for both.
Yeah.
So Illinois and Washington are both likely.
Illinois used to be solid blue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was, but it's changed. And that's the environment in all of this. There has been a surge in the last couple of weeks for Donald Trump. And as Walker was saying, it's going to be interesting to see the spillover, because the history is Republicans tend to be late voters. They don't vote in early polling. What the Democrats have been really concerned about in the early voting is they are not seeing the support from the African-American community that Barack Obama enjoyed in 2008 and 2012.
Right.
Their big problem is this. They're hoping on the Hispanic vote to make up that difference. That's something that has got to be calculated in. And I think it goes to where we are this morning on that electoral map. It has changed dramatically in the last 2 weeks.
The Hispanic vote. If I remember correctly, George Bush got 40% of the Hispanic vote. I'm not mistaken.
I think he's gotten the highest amount. I don't remember. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people don't know Hispanics represent the largest minority in the country.
Right.
They, four or five years ago, outnumbered the African-American
One important development in the minority vote is, according to a survey, or according to early polling, early results, or early voting results, African-Americans are voting for Trump twice as much as they were voting for Romney in 12.
And I just looked up the figures. In 2004, George Bush won 44% of the Latino vote. In 2012, Romney won just 27%.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's dropped, that'll be interesting to see tomorrow about that. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We encourage you to pray about the election tomorrow. A lot of things at stake. You got governorships, you've got House and Senate seats at play, and the presidency, obviously, with Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. We have been playing on American Family Radio a message quite often over the weekend by Pastor Tommy Nelson, senior pastor of the Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas. It's an excellent message. Many, many, many of you have called and emailed and said thank you for playing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a biblical perspective on the presidential election. And if you want to watch that yourself or forward that to your friends, just go to YouTube. Go to YouTube and type in Pastor Tommy Nelson. And then the message is titled Continental Divide. So if you type in Pastor Tommy Nelson, Continental Divide, under YouTube, that's the message that comes up. I did that right before I came in here. So that's going to be, that message went from, I think, 78,000 I saw on Friday of people who've watched it on YouTube to 220,000 as of this morning.
Yeah.
So that message is getting a lot of play in the Christian community, and you need to hear what Pastor Nelson has to say.
It's a great history lesson about the Christian heritage of this country, but he does not hold back on where he stands. I mean, he is frank as frank can be.
You know, one issue that is huge for Christians, and Christians are often accused of being single-issue voters, that is the abortion issue, but that's not true. Christians are like anybody else. We look at multi. We're able to think about more than one issue, but the life issue, the abortion issue, is at the top for most Christians because it's a priority, and it represents life or death. So, Ed, we're looking at this race here between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I mentioned our staff this morning in devotional. If you have friends or family who maybe are on the fence about voting at all, or they, you know, they're disturbed about the personalities of both of them, Clinton and Trump, and so they just say, "I'm going to sit this one out." Folks, there is way too much at stake to sit out this race, this presidential race. Let me just tell you, one stark difference is where these candidates stand on abortion. Donald Trump has said openly time and time and time again he will appoint pro-life judges. Mike Pence, his running mate, the governor of Indiana, has said the funding for Planned Parenthood, dismembering of babies and selling baby parts will come to an end under a Trump-Pence administration. Mm-hmm. So that's one side on the life issue. And I'm not saying anything that's not known publicly. I'm just reminding people where the candidates stand on this issue. Hillary Clinton has said she's in favor of abortion through the full 9 months of pregnancy. Remember that part in the debate, Ed?
It was chilling. She was so forthright about her intention to continue. We would characterize it. She didn't use these words, but we would characterize it. She said she is going to continue to promote abortion and fund Planned Parenthood. And I understood her saying through the 9 months of she's fully in support of partial birth abortion. Mm-hmm. So they withdraw the baby except for the head. Then they kill the baby. And so
she has no moral objection to that.
It was chilling. I thought this woman is going to continue the slaughter of unborn children. She was very upfront with that.
And for a lot of people, that was it.
Yes.
That was the determinant.
Mm-hmm. Right. And she said, also, folks, keep in mind here, not only what Ed just described as Hillary Clinton is for abortion, including partial birth abortion, she wants to change the law to make all of us pay for abortions through our tax dollars. Mm-hmm. Am I right, Fred?
Remove the Hyde Amendment.
Right. And so not only is she for abortion through the full 9 months of pregnancy, which Donald Trump called her on it, and I was proud of him for doing that, and he has himself changed his mind and has been converted from pro-abortion to pro-life in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she said, she makes no bones about it, she wants to remove the Hyde Amendment, which keeps federal tax dollars from going to pay for abortion. And she wants us to all have to pay for abortions for everybody who wants one through our tax dollars. So,
and let's not kid ourselves. The secular progressives, the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton, they were all upset when the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 vote, very slim margin, gave Hobby Lobby, a Christian company, the right to not pay for abortions for their employees. We're going to see that go away. I am convinced. Christian companies, Christian colleges. If Hillary Clinton has her way, they will be forced to pay for abortion. So, or you lose your tax exempt status. You don't get, if you're a college, you won't get, you know, government money. So this is all, you know, what's odd, Tim, is that when people criticize us, I'm not going to name names here, but when people criticize us and other Christians for being involved, they either will say, Well, Christians are all single-issue voters, abortion. Or if we do have an opinion about the national debt or the military, then we're accused of bringing in issues that aren't in the Bible. So you can't win with our even. No. I'm talking about Christians mm-hmm. who criticize other Christians like us. Yeah. So you can't win. So which is it? Should we be a single issue voter,
right.
Or can we vote on other issues? You know, this is
well, and a lot of our brothers and sisters they're nowhere to be found between presidential election cycles on the issues of our day. Mm-hmm, you don't hear right. them talk about it at all.
Right.
And all of a sudden, and in fact, you'll hear them say, oh, that AFA and American Family Radio, they're just relying too much on activism, and they're not spreading the gospel. You get that.
Well, that's not true. Also.
That's not true. Right. Absolutely not true. But that's what they'll accuse us of.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they'll say, but then every 4 years, they want to weigh in on why you shouldn't vote for the Republican candidate for one reason or another. Let me tell you something, folks. 4 years ago, it was Romney's a Mormon, can't vote for him. Now it's Trump's a playboy, can't vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you something. If you're going to wait for the perfect candidate to vote for president, then you're never going to vote again in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay? So nobody likes the position that we're in. That's why it's important that Christians are involved in the primary process.
Right.
Right.
So you can keep this... So you can select a candidate that has a high moral character.
Let me just say this, and this election can be summed down in several different ways, and we've done that here on the program.
Right.
But one aspect I thought about this weekend is I'd personally, and I hope this is most people's view, is I don't want other people, possibly non-believers, choosing my leader. And that should be most of our view. You know, if you're voting for a school board member or you know, the president of a organization or your mayor, you shouldn't be comfortable with everybody else choosing your leader, especially if you don't like the leader.
So that's the people who are going to say, "I'm going to sit this one out."
Right.
Right.
If you're sitting out this election, you're saying that I would rather everybody else choose for me who my president will
be. Well, right. Here's the other part, and this was such a big part of the Tommy Nelson message that we've been talking about. What happens in this election is going to have an impact for the next 50 years. And you say, wait a minute, well, there's, you know, two terms. No. The important part here has to do with our religious freedoms. And what Tommy Nelson was talking about there, the next president is going to get to choose up to 3 new Supreme Court justices. 3. And they'll be there for 30, 40, 50 years. And they will have an impact on what decisions are made. You mentioned the Hobby Lobby decision.
Mm-hmm.
You put 3 new Supreme Court justices on there
who
have a liberal bend.
Mm. You're going to take away the Second Amendment.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. That too. And Tommy Nelson mentioned that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You won't be allowed to carry
that's
your gun.
That's not hyperbole. These judges that the secular progressives are putting on the federal bench, not only the Supreme Court, but the federal appellate court across the land, there's really going to be no need for Congress because we're going to be ruled by judges.
Right. Which is unfortunate, but that's where our country is right now.
And that's what's another thing at stake, Fred. What you're talking about here is there's a huge difference between who Donald Trump would appoint to the Supreme Court. He says he wants judges in the mold of Scalia.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton says she wants judges that will stand up for all the different groups in our country. Remember her answer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she wants judges who understand
the times we're in.
And will stand up for.
Right.
She used that phrase over and over to describe the Supreme Court.
She never mentioned the Constitution.
No, she didn't say, I want them to rule on the constitutionality of a particular law. She said, I want my Supreme Court justices to, quote, stand up for, and then she listed.
She named a bunch of groups.
Yeah, that's an activist.
Right.
Supreme Court. We'll be back after this. We got a lot more to talk about. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues.
Fred Jackson, news director here, making fun of Ed. That's part of his job description. Good morning, Fred.
All right. on to the election.
We'll have wide-ranging discussion on today's stories. The most important presidential election of our day is just a few hours away, and we'll give information and insight. That's on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit, is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Hillary Clinton would have you believe she's a sanctimonious church lady in a white pantsuit. But when the sun goes down, she turns into a political party gal, doing the diva twist and shout. She portrays herself as this great defender of women, yet surrounds herself with campaign surrogates like Jay-Z, men who verbally assault women with their lyrics, battering them with demeaning and vulgar songs. She speaks in black churches on Sunday, but allows men to drop the N-word during campaign events. She speaks about her devout Methodist faith, but promotes a filthy pro-Hillary video that curses God and Jesus. This is the reality of Hillary Clinton. She's one person in public and another person in private. And the mainstream media is more than willing to cover up a multitude of her sins. Just one more thing for you to think about before Election Day. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us back here on Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We are asking you to pray and fast today for the election tomorrow. I'm not overstating it when I say that tomorrow's election in America will determine whether or not our country has any, how do I say this without being,
it decreases the likelihood of this country turning around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because even if the traditional side wins in terms of the constitutional side, there's no guarantee that we still won't go down the toilet. But if secular progressives win tomorrow, it's over. I mean, the chances of us remaining the constitutional republic handed to us by our founders,
right,
is going to disappear. It's going to slide right through our fingers.
Yeah. Jeremy Wiggins joining us as he does each Monday morning. Jeremy, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Tell everybody about your radio show on Saturday mornings.
Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Central Time in the Trenches. We take a look at what's happening around American Family Radio and AFA during the week, and also add some colorful commentary and new and interesting stories.
What I'm talking about, Jeremy, here is what I was speechless, and that's bad for a radio talk show host, but Ed Walker helped me out there. But Pastor Tommy Nelson makes reference to this in his sermon that we've been playing quite often the last 3 or 4 days here about this election, and that is to say the secular liberals are progressives in this country, which are backed by George Soros and company. George Soros doesn't need much company to financially back something. He's a billionaire. But, I mean, they believe in globalism. Mm-hmm. They are against nationalism. They are anything God is for, these people are against. So they're against biblical morality. And if they win tomorrow, it will be the last chance that we have politically, at least, to stem the tide.
Mm-hmm.
Because she will, Hillary Clinton will pack the courts with Harvard law professors.
Right.
Those type of people.
Yeah.
And it'll be a very it'll be an increasingly hostile environment for Christians.
Well, you bring up George Soros, and what I find interesting is when you look typically at progressives, they're always so anti, in public, they're anti the one percenters, but they'll still take your money. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. And then, you know, you look at some of the campaigns out there, one of the things Hillary Clinton has been saying is, well, you know, he's in bed with Wall Street, and he's in bed with Wall Street. Well, we've got your emails, Secretary Clinton. We know who's really in bed with Wall Street, and
right. You
don't have very much room to stand on. But, you know, Tim, you mentioned that today is our national, is a call to prayer and fasting. And I think this, we need to take a time. And as Ed was saying, there's no guarantees when it comes to man's plans after tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we need to turn to a sovereign God who is not taken back, is not taken by surprise by anything that happens. And that's really a comfort. I know that, you know, we have, there's a lot riding on our election, not just on the presidential election, but on every ticket mm-hmm. on down the line.
Right.
But when we call upon our nation to turn back, repent from our national sins, turn back to the Lord, that really is, you know, pray, fast, and vote.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do that in that order, and that's how we start moving the line.
Mm. What do you have? By the way, before you get into your stories, let me ask Walker about this story, and you comment, Jeremy, and Ed. There's a story that broke last night on WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are the people that's been dropping these hacked into emails
right.
by the Democrat National mm-hmm. Committee and John Podesta.
Mm-hmm.
Some way or another, somebody hacked into the Democrat National Committee and John Podesta, who's the chairman of the Clinton campaign,
right,
and got their emails
mm-hmm.
And are dumping them out there for everybody to see,
right.
And something happened last night that's newsworthy, right, Walker?
Yeah, last night, WikiLeaks mysteriously and surprisingly dumped 9,000 DNC emails. Well, these are emails not from Joe Bob, who opens the front door for people. These are emails from kingmakers, people who make top decisions in the DNC. And what was discovered last night as the public and news outlets were going through these emails is the DNC, or CNN asked the DNC for questions for Wolf Blitzer during a Trump interview. Wolf Blitzer was going to do a Trump interview. Well, someone at CNN, whether it be Wolf Blitzer himself or a top producer, emailed the DNC and say, hey, can you get us some questions? So the DNC sends out an email to a couple employees and says, the due time is 10:30 a.m. this morning. Get us some questions in. And so you have the top media, CNN, who some call the Clinton News Network, and
well,
maybe
we know
that's
why
true
now.
But they're seeking the DNC for questions for Trump's interview.
Democratic National Committee.
Right. Mm.
Yeah. And this is just a couple of days after Donna Brazile was forcefully resigned, a.k.a. terminated her contracts as a contributor to CNN for leaking questions to Hillary Clinton.
Well, I'm reading from the Washington Examiner, a very credible news site. It says, in an email to the DNC, colleagues on April 24th with the headline, this is a headline for an email to the DNC, to DNC colleagues or employees, Trump questions for CNN, end quote. A Democrat National Committee official.
I wonder what that email was about.
I know. With the email username Dylan, whatever it is, asked for ideas for an interview to be conducted by CNN anchor Wolf Blitzer. So evidently, I don't know what CNN's response to this today is yet, but evidently these hacked into emails show that CNN is, they got an interview set up with Donald Trump, right? Wolf
mm-hmm.
Blitzer.
Mm-hmm.
So CNN sends an email to the Democrat National Committee wanting them to help them develop questions for Donald Trump.
You got a problem with that, Tim?
Well, they've been
a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of a problem with that. And if that's true, if this is true, if you've seen CNN's response, have you been to their website?
They're silent right now.
Okay, if this is true, and it appears to be so, then somebody at CNN's
got to go.
Should be fired.
Hey, fired.
Let me add to it. Let me add to the party here. This is a story from the Daily Caller. It says Washington Post columnist Dana Milbank appears to have asked the Democratic National Committee to do the majority of the research for a negative column he wrote about Donald Trump in April. And internal DNC emails, again, this is from the WikiLeaks dump, internal DNC emails suggest Milbank's asked for and then leaned heavily on DNC opposition research for Trump for the article. So this is not only going on CNN, it's going on at the Washington Post, at least in this particular case, and you wonder how much more of this has gone on during this election cycle.
You know, that it brings me to that. I don't remember what the Latin is for it, but who watches the watchmen? That's what this is. The media is supposed to be the ones who are out there investigating this for us. Right. I don't know what's more disgusting, the fact that this is happening or the fact that let's not kid ourselves. WikiLeaks is a hacker group.
Right.
They're getting these emails illegally.
Right.
But
they're stealing it.
Yeah, they're stealing it. So, and that's what the people who are the recipients of these hacks are choosing to focus on. I was hacked. Oh, like Donna Brazile going on against Megyn Kelly, and she's like, "Oh, they stole my emails. I'm under persecution."
Yeah.
I can't believe she actually said that she was facing persecution. But I don't know what's more disgusting, that they're doing this, or that we have to rely on hackers.
It's not unethical to do oppo research on a candidate, no matter who the candidate is. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the fact that you have to ask the candidate's top opponent for the oppo research. Can you not do the oppo research yourself?
Yeah.
I mean,
this only proves what we've known. This only confirms what we've all known all along, but maybe haven't had this hard an evidence to prove it.
Right.
And that is the collusion between the liberal media in Washington, D.C. and New York and the Democrat. They do the bidding of the Democrat Party. And so to Jeremy's point, you know, our country has depended on a watchdog media to hold the rich and the powerful and especially the politicians accountable so that there's some kind of fear of and respect from the politicians on, hey, if I'm doing something unethical or if I'm trying to do something underhanded, I'm going to be outed by the media because they're the watchdog. But when the media, by and large, is complicit with a particular ideology and a particular political party, you don't have that kind of watchdog anymore.
Well,
that is unhealthy for our democracy, Ed.
The watchdog metaphor is meant to show the dog watching on behalf of the American people. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing is the watchdog is sitting on Hillary Clinton's porch. That's what the watchdog is
watching
doing.
Watching us.
Watching the American people and watching the Republican Party. So that's the accusation. And I'll tell you, I've got to think with the tens, hundreds of thousands of emails that have been dumped by WikiLeaks, regardless of what the FBI says, no way they've gone through 650,000 emails in 8 days, but people are going to be going through those over the next couple of years. And you wait till you see the books that are probably going to be written, because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that we've missed that hasn't gotten, you know, into the public eye. We're going to find out about just how in bed the DNC and the major media groups have been.
Well, and you know,
they're manipulating the American people is what is horrific.
You brought that up. It took them 8 days to go through 650,000. Now, I know that you can go through and do searches and you can eliminate, you know, certain big chunks of emails. But to put it in perspective, it took the FBI 12 months to go through 33,000 emails.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it takes them 8 days to go through 650,000 emails. There is something going on there. But I don't know if along that, I don't know, one of the things that came out. Did you all see this? Clinton had directed her maid to print out classified materials. That was one of the things that's been revealed in these emails. She asked her maid, Marina Santos, who has no security clearance whatsoever, to print out her emails. Now, I know people tend to trust their housekeepers because they don't
intent.
Want them to. Yeah. There's emails that says, please ask Marina to print for me in AM. Clinton emailed to top aide Huma Abedin regarding a redacted 2011 message marked sensitive but unclassified. She was relying on her maid.
So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You had then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton with her bathroom server, right? And so she's asking her maid to print out top secret.
Was sensitive.
No, this stuff was part of the special access program, which the president, secretary of state, and top generals and CIA guys have access to. This isn't like where we have troops in Iraq. I mean, this is stuff like
okay,
we
I'm
have
sorry.
CIA agents.
This isn't our dinner order for tonight.
No, this is part of the special access program. They call it SAP.
How did we learn that? That Secretary of State Clinton had her.
It was released in the FBI interviews.
Yeah.
The FBI's been having
to
release.
Confessed to
because
this?
Of FOIA requests. The FBI's been slowly releasing all of their interviews with. That's how we found about all the quid pro quo and all that stuff.
Oh, my word. Anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Have you got these articles we've been talking about on our Facebook page, Walker?
Yes.
Our Today's Issues Facebook page is alive and active and buzzing, and Walker's putting all this all this stuff that we're talking about, we're putting on our Today's Issues Facebook page. You're listening to American Family Radio. Please participate in our prayer and fasting day today for the election tomorrow, and make sure you go vote and tell everybody you know to go vote and help them go to the polls if you need to. Now, you need to ask them who they're voting for before you take them to vote. Because you don't want them to cancel out your vote. So why take them to the polls so they can cancel out your vote? Does that make any sense, Ed?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't mean you're being not nice to people. It just means you're being smart. So ask them, who are you voting for? And if they say they're voting for the same person you are, then you take them to the, take them to the polls.
Well, listen, the Democrats do that. They rent buses to do that.
Do they really?
Oh, yes.
Notorious. But only go to one polling place with your friend. Don't go across town to another one and hit multiples, because that's
bad. Hey, voting
too.
Fraud has been an issue in the past, and I'm sure that'll be watched tomorrow because there are some places that are notorious for voting fraud. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker. And Jeremy Wiggins is in studio with us as he joins us each Monday morning. What else you got out there?
Well, you know, we mentioned at the beginning, at the bottom of the hour, that this is a national day of prayer and fasting that not only the American Family Association, American Family Radio has been calling for, but other conservative groups, Christian groups, and just Christians in general know how important the election is. And so I thought I would look at some of the historic, because these things are not new. You know, it says in the Bible, there is nothing new under the sun. The importance has increased, but the need for our nation to come together and ask for forgiveness for our national sins and pray to God to forgive us is not a new concept. I have one here that was from 1776. This is from the Second Continental Congress. And one of the opening paragraph, it says, in times of impending calamity and distress, when the liberties of America are imminently endangered by secret machinations and open assaults of an insidious and vindictive administration, it becomes the indispensable duty of those hitherto free and happy colonies, with true penitence of heart and the most reverent devotion, publicly to acknowledge the overruling providence of God, to confess and deplore our offenses against Him, and to supplicate his interposition for averting the threatened danger and prospering our strenuous efforts in the cause of freedom, virtue, and prosperity. So again, these things, you know, the issues are different because I'm certain that the things that are happening today, our founding fathers would just be flabbergasted at. They couldn't even probably dream of the assaults on individual liberty that are taking place in the country these days. But the idea, the concept of going to the Lord, asking for forgiveness, repenting, that's a very important part of here. It's not just the asking of forgiveness. We notice that on a national level, that's the same thing on an individual level too. Repentance is key here. And calling on his name and saying, Lord, please forgive us as a country. You know, I've been looking at this topic in Joel 2. The Lord says, rend not just your garments, but rend your heart as well. So we have to turn our national heart back towards the Lord. Seek his face. You know, 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name would repent of their sins, seek my face. And that's so important in our country today that we seek the face of the Lord, ask him for guidance, ask him for wisdom and peace and his grace and mercies to be poured out on our country. And this theme is repeated over and over again in these national days.
Didn't our founding fathers know that this was supposed to be a secular country without, you know, you could pray, you pray in your churches, Jeremy, but didn't they know that you weren't supposed to mix religion with? We have the Continental Congress calling for a day of prayer and fasting.
They didn't get the email, Ed. Right. They missed the email.
Let's remember that Congress held church in the state in the national capital. They rode their horses and carriages to church in the capital, funded by taxpayers. The building was funded by taxpayers.
Right.
So
well, they just didn't understand. They didn't understand.
They're unenlightened.
They were unenlightened, you know, and now the secular progressives know more about what the founding fathers really meant. You know, when they established
the founding fathers themselves.
Founding fathers themselves.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, sarcastic. I'm pegging out on the sarcasm meter. But
yes, you are.
All you have to do is read their journals. I mean, in their journal excerpts from these Continental Congresses, they talk about the messages that were delivered before the opening sessions, how inspirational they were. They'd make notes about what scripture references were used. I mean, they had church before they got to the government business.
We are living in a time, folks, when I think probably the understanding of our constitutional republic and our country's heritage and history is at an all-time low. We have got a bunch of ignoramuses amongst us. And I say that not to laugh at that. I say that in the correct meaning of the word. Look up ignorance. People are just, especially the younger generation, well, if you get below 40, most of them could name you two founding fathers. They couldn't name you two constitutional amendments. They couldn't name you the three branches of government. I'm telling you. I don't know if you blame that on parents. On the school system.
It's several factors. It's
several.
It's the schools. It's parenting. I mean, it's the culture. Law school students don't even read the Constitution anymore.
No, they study case law.
Right.
And that's we've got to, you know, I don't mean, yes, what I've just said is depressing. Yeah. You watch the late night interviews by Waters World or Jimmy Kimmel or any of those people, and I know maybe they can.
You know who really said it best? You know, I've been talking about these is Abraham Lincoln in his call for prayer and fasting in 1863. He says, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which has preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." He also said, "It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." Can you imagine a president, a sitting president of the United States, speaking this way?
Yes. That they would... the liberal news media and the secular progressives and the Democratic Party would be howling in anger and outrage.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've already seen that the Freedom From Religion Foundation has filed lawsuits. 2011 was the last time to just even get rid of the National Day of Prayer.
Right.
They think that we shouldn't even have a National Day of Prayer, which not only goes against, you know, the Christian heritage of this nation, it goes against plain common sense that we would not beseech the Lord to forgive us of our, like I said, forgive us of our national sins, to guide us as a nation.
Yeah.
But we think that we have set ourselves up on the throne, mm-hmm. and that's what the progressives are trying to do.
Well, Thomas Jefferson, our third president, said this. He said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and what and never will be, end of quote. Again, this is Thomas Jefferson. In fact, if you go to the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., as I've been to many times, this is a plaque, mm-hmm. Quote, mm-hmm. in the Jefferson Memorial on the lower level. He says, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be, end of quote. So what, to my point earlier about ignorance among the American people about our country's heritage, and history, and what makes us unique and special exceptional, the expression American exceptionalism, that's not...
That's a dirty word these days, Tim. You can't say we're exceptional as Americans.
I know, but what it means, I know the liberal elite say that, but what it means is not that we're prideful because of who we are in and of ourselves. It's American exceptionalism because of the ideas and the concepts and the principles in which our country was built.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's exceptional, not because we, our DNA, right. You know. So, but what Thomas Jefferson is warning us about here is if we are not, if the public is not watching and participating and informing and educating themselves so that they can know what to do with respect to our leaders, mm-hmm. and our government, then we will lose our freedom.
Yeah.
With ignorance goes the loss of freedom.
Right.
That's what Thomas Jefferson was saying.
Even more so now because we don't have the media on our side. The media is actually working
against... They're not a neutral broker.
No, they're mm-hmm. working against the American people.
Yeah.
And America is one of the few countries in world history, that the people get to directly choose their leaders. Mm-hmm. And that's what Tommy Nelson mentioned in his sermon that we've been talking about.
By the
about.
Way, we've just we're announcing now that we're going to play the Pastor Tommy Nelson's message this afternoon from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock Central Time. It's in case you're wondering if you live in a different time zone than Central Time Zone. It's 10:58 here south. So, what is that? Three
yeah,
hours
just
from
about
now.
3 hours.
3 hours from now, we're going to play that. That's going to we'll be playing it during the second hour of Focal Point, which is Brian Fisher's radio show. This is so important. We're going to play the message one more time for those who didn't get a chance to hear it this afternoon at 2:05 Central Time on American Family Radio. Well, folks, be in prayer, fast, participate with us in this time today where we appeal to God.
And you can let us know at AFR.net, too. Let us know that you're participating. We want as many people to humbly come before the Lord and ask for His hand to be upon all of the elections that are happening tomorrow.
And our email address is comments@AFR.net. comments@AFR.net. Jeremy, your radio show airs when?
6 a.m. Saturday mornings right here on American Family Radio.
Central Time.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, guys.
Ed and Walker, and yours truly, we will be back after the break. John MacArthur, the well-known Bible teacher, had some comments to say about the election. And you may be surprised by what he said. We're going to talk about that next half hour.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.